Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
In 2017, life as we knew it came to a screeching halt when production on Sex and the City 3, the movie, was unceremoniously and abruptly shut down. 3 years later, it was announced in 2020 that a Sex and the City reboot was in the works. However, the reboot is not actually a third movie, and thus my journey continues. On this podcast, I will be doing what many believe to be the undoable. I will be saving Sex and the City 3.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Saving Sex and the City 3. I am your host, Lara Marie Shane Halls, but you know that already. And with me today, truly, I'm so excited, actor, writer, hilarious person, Tommy Doe.
Hi, juggler, ice skater, juggler. Humanitarian. No.
What doesn't he do?
Truly. Name anything, yeah. And I'll be like, no, I've done that.
I believe it. Jack of all trades, honestly. Not only are you just in, like, energetically, like, great space, but, like, physically you can do all those challenges as well.
In this economy where the jobs are scarce.
In this juggling gig economy.
Where the jobs are scarce. You got to do it all at this point.
Yeah.
If you want to eat.
Thank you so much for being on the pod. I'm so excited to have you. What are your feelings on And Just Like That? Like, where do you stand emotionally? I need to know.
Okay. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Sex and the City. Huge, huge, huge. Mm-hmm. I think I saw it, like, later. I didn't see it while it was airing. I'm a first generation. My parents are from Vietnam, so I grew up literally, it felt like Vietnam in my household. So we didn't have access to...
It wasn't a Sex and the City household.
It wasn't. We watched as a family, like, maybe American Idol, but, like, I don't... A lot of it was, like, Paris by Night, which is a Vietnamese kind of like American Idol, like, singing show. I watched Sex and the City after the fact. I'm a huge fan of Sex and the City. And just like that, I just feel like it's like all the reboots, right? Like, everyone's schedules are more free than they had thought they were going to be. I think everyone was kind of like, oh, we're just kind of like move on and, you know, whatever. And then everyone's like, oh yeah, that was like the best time of my life. Kind of like maybe like high school. So I think that's it. Do I think it's going to be good? I don't know. You know what it is? I think it's, like, there is a point where people just, like, when you're, the original excitement of making a show, you're, like, in such a little, like, bubble, right? And you don't really have the sense of, like, what the show can be or where it will grow or how it will resonate or if it'll, you know, withstand the test of time and all of those things. And you're just kind of, like, having fun. But now, like, years and years and years later, you're, like, hyper aware of, like, how the show is and what people might like about the show. And then you start, like, kind of doing, like, impressions of yourself and, like, doing a caricature of yourself. So I think that might be an issue going to And Just Like That. But I could be wrong. I mean, it could be super awesome and groundbreaking. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like the best way to approach it is to lower your expectations. And then you can just be excited by everything that happens.
Right. Right. Truly, truly expect nothing.
Expect less than nothing. Yeah. And that's, I think, kind of how I've been approaching it. And so with every passing, like, breaking news or photos from set, I'm, like, thrilled.
Yes, when you expect nothing, you are surprised when something happens. You're elated.
Yeah.
I
feel like the only, like, as you were talking, I realized, I was like, wow, COVID has really been pretty bad, but I think that COVID gave us this reboot. Like, I don't think this reboot would have happened if there hadn't been a global pandemic. So, silver lining?
That's, you know, everything happens for a reason. There is an art form to the behind the scenes videos I see on TikTok or like Instagram. They're like, it's always Sarah Jessica Parker running around town on a windy day in like a pink dress. But like, they're like, if you like compile all those videos, one, it's super like, it's very artistic. There's like, she's just like running around town, like with a script in her hand. I'm really captivated. So we'll see.
Same.
Yeah.
And like, there's one video where she like forcefully enters like a restaurant of some sort. Yeah. I was like, what could she possibly be doing in there? And like, I'm on the edge of my seat. I also don't have much these days. And just like that is one of the only things. So, I mean, like, I'm just going to be in a place of gratitude for whatever they provide.
I'm gonna watch. I'm whether it's good, bad, evil, hellish, amazing.
I hope that it is evil. Yeah,
I truly hope
they channel the devil himself.
My hope is that it's evil. It's truly. It would be. I mean, I'd watch. I'd really watch then. Yeah.
Yeah, it is absolutely evil. Yeah, I hope so. That feels like a good segue to just get into what your ideas are.
For anyone
that's just tuning in, I have a guest on the podcast. I tell them to come up with a log line for each of the girls, which can truly be anything and everything, and then we like build the movie from the beginning based on my guest's vision. So without further ado, the mic is yours.
Okay, so we don't do you include the movies or is it just
canon? I mean, I leave it to the guest discretion, but like personally, I absolutely include the movies.
Okay. Well, yeah. The thing is, oh, of course, it's Sex and City 3. Of course, you would have to include the movies. So I'm a fan of the show. I really love the first movie. The second movie, I walked out of.
What point? Where did you... What was the point, the breaking point, where you said, I've had enough, I'm leaving?
When the four cars showed up at the hotel in... Okay. It was in Abu Dhabi. I was like, oh, I think I'm out. I can't... I don't think I can... I don't think I can muster. You know, part of it was, and I'll get to this in a second, but a big part of it was the audience was oohing and aahing to like the things that make Sex and the City like fun. So it's like the amount of her closet, for instance, or her shoes, and it just really made me upset that it didn't seem like anyone in the audience understood that this movie's fiction. Like they were like, oh, whoa, look at all the shoes. I'm like, no, those are props. Like, it's not.
No, it was lit. The audience was fucking lit in those movies.
Screaming.
I know, because I was like one of them. Truly, like I think the second movie came out on my birthday weekend. And so, you know, I was like right there. And I might have even just gone to see it alone because I was like, I can't wait for anyone to get their schedules together to like coordinate. Like, it just has to be done now. But it was a wild ride. It's one of the most like engaged audiences, like verbally engaged audiences I've ever been in.
Verbally. When those pink letters pop up and they're sparkling and they're dazzling, the way that, oh my God, it was.
Girls screaming, just like losing their shit.
It was like, are we all okay? Like,
no, we're not okay. Like, at least the merciful thing of In Just Like That is that everyone will be home watching it. Like, you can't have like a communal experience, so you won't be subjected to like the screams again.
I just think that, like, the thing I liked about the show and even the first movie, it, like, really, it knows it's elevated. So it has, like, a sense of humor about itself. And, you know, there's, like, this dance of, like, yes, it's, like, high, like, fantasy, but there's also this groundedness of, like, campiness. I guess there was campiness. Was Liza Minnelli, that wedding was in the second movie, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that in that way it did, but it just became too like elevated, that it was like an outer space for me, that I was like, I don't what is going on here. So I guess that leads me to my idea. So I decided that for the third movie, we're gonna bring it back down to earth, and we're gonna make it so grounded to the point where it's almost unwatchable. Like, it'll be like mundane. I just want to see Cynthia Nixon sitting on her front porch in Oklahoma with no and the music could still be like dun 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 dun, dun, but like the opposite is like her actions are very still, very almost stoic, looking at her maybe farm. So
it's like, I'm getting, I feel like this is like a Terrence Malick movie.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess I'll go through my characters. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I had Carrie. Okay, so like the thing is, like in the show, I think there's this narrative in the show that Carrie is like, and it really came out in that episode with like the real me, where she was asked to be on the runway. But she's like, I'm not a model. And she very much was fighting the fact that like she is in no way an attention seeker, which is wildly untrue. Like, I don't understand why she's fighting that. Like, you love attention, and like everything that she, like every decision she makes in her own life is for attention. So I don't like that narrative, but I think that moving forward, she's realized that she also has this ability to like never be happy, right? Like, no matter what she gets, she's like, I'm a kind of a terror, and just like find something anyway. So I feel like she's like, I will only be happy if like I can, I've only been happy when I've like worked for myself. Like, she's like, you know, a writer and self-made and stuff like that. So I think that she would, it would be fun if she got like trapped in like a pyramid scheme. She's become her own boss. And maybe like something like LuLaRue, like she like is
like, is it, aren't those like workout clothes or something?
Yeah, it's just like
leggings or it's like some leggings. Sort?
Yeah, that you have to invest like thousands of dollars,
and then hire people like under you. They sell to and you train them, and you get like a cut of their sales or something.
Exactly,
full blown MLM.
Okay, it's a full blown pyramid scheme, and I think that she ropes her friends into them. They feel obligated to do that, but like it's like any pyramid scheme relationship. I have a lot of friends who are in it, and they're like, do you want to support me in my business? And you're like, I want to support you as a person because we're friends. However, this is a financial trap. So
yeah, this isn't a business. Like, no. Real businesses don't ask people to support them. Like, FYI.
You're essentially a post office. You're just like kind of bringing things in, sending things out. You're just a manufacturer. I don't understand. So I thought it'd be fun if Carrie.
Okay, I love this for Carrie. Yeah.
So Carrie is deep in a pyramid scheme. Big, you know, I didn't think about Big. I think that maybe Big is trying to be as supportive as he can. He has somehow been swindled, invested so much of his own money to support Carrie. She's very good at guilt tripping people. So I think,
and she might have made millions maybe off of this. Like, if she had Big to just buy the initial purchase, like,
yeah,
she might be like the queen of LuLaRue.
Yeah she's high up. She's but okay, the thing with being the queen of LuLaRue is like, I'm sure millions that are coming in, millions are going out, so like you're always just breaking even. I think that's like great
business as usual.
Business as usual. And then I, you know, for Charlotte, I was thinking, she's the one, I think, in, like, the series and everything, she's always been kind of, like, the butt of everyone's joke. Everyone was like, get a grip, Charlotte. Like, your dreams are crazy. Like, you have these big ideals or whatever. But I think, like, the growth that she's had throughout the series and the movies is, like, her dreams all come true, and she is actually happy, and she, is successful and is married to the person that she loves and has, and, you know, she's living the life that she's always wanted, and she's kind of proved all of the other people wrong, you know, or all the other girls wrong.
Totally.
Right? Yeah. So I was thinking that, like, if we can continue with that kind of trajectory and have her be, she's like, she's now a housewife. Is that how it ended in Sex and the City 2? It doesn't matter. Anyways, she has started her own candle business. She's still basic, I think, in some ways. She still has, like, simple wants and dreams. So she's started her own candle company. But it's actually successful. And she does wholesale, but it's actually a business that Carrie is jealous of. This is, like, Carrie wants
the
to be...
The actual business.
And Charlotte actually has gone onto Shark Tank and has partnered up with Lori. And Lori has invested all this money, and Charlotte is now, like, on QVC every other week, living the life that Carrie is jealous of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, what would be a good name for her candle company?
I was in Bath and Body Works the other day, and I saw that they have that candle, White Barn. That's insane.
Yeah, White Barn. I think I've sniffed that candle, and it might not be that bad.
No, I think it's good. It's just the name,
it's like
White
a
Barn
good
is
candle.
Yeah, White Barn is wild. Like, that is so I don't know. Something basic but not predictable is, like, how I imagine Charlotte. It's simple but not, like, cringeworthy. I think Charlotte has this, like, kind of ability to, like, be basic but not boring. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, basic but classic.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like, I was thinking, like, Charlotte's Embers or, like, even, like, Greenhouse. When you said, like, White Barn, I was like, oh, Greenhouse. And it's, like, floral scents, but, and it could be Greenhouse, but it also could be Greenhouse, like a greenhouse.
Done. Greenhouse.
Okay. Love it.
Gorgeous.
And it's just, like, a lot of different flowers, and you're like, who needed another scented floral candle? But actually, everyone does. They're amazing.
Everyone does. And that's, like, their go-to now.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. And I think it's, like, they're at an affordable price point, but, like, insanely high quality with great scents. Like, she's cracked the candle code where you no longer have to spend $90 to get, like, the best of the best candle. You're getting her candles for, like, $35.
$35. People have gone from Anthropologie's Volcano Candle to Charlotte.
To Charlotte. Maybe even cheaper than that. Maybe she's really cracked the code on, like, a $15 candle where it's like, that is unheard of and no one can believe it. But even Vogue is like, I gotta say, like, I'm just obsessed with this candle. Okay, I have chills thinking about that.
Chills.
I would be obsessed.
A three wick, $15. Yes.
Yeah, like, yeah. And you get, and she sells it on QVC of all places, and you're like, nothing about this makes sense. Like, it should be, it's so wrong that it's actually right. And her candles are just selling out. Like, the richest person will burn it, and then someone that has, like, no money to really spend on candles can also get it and burn it and feel, like, at peace.
Yeah. You know what? I think that if we fast forwarded, like, a few movies, a few years, she would be on the same trajectory as Chip and Joanna Gaines from HGTV. Very, like, lifestyle, would have her own magazine, would, you know, host a show about flipping houses, and just have everything have shiplap. I think that's, like, but in her way, in, like, a New York nice classic way. Yeah. But the same, like,
I see this for her.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, candle making started as a weird hobby, like a weird mom hobby, and then suddenly blew up and then became, like, a passion, and then just like expanded into all of those other things. Yeah.
Right. It's something that is like, if someone starts out doing it, it's so cringeworthy. You're like, oh really? Like, you're doing that. And then if it's actually successful, you're like, damn bitch, you fucking did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Charlotte would be like
that. That for her.
She'd do it. So I was thinking for Miranda, like I said before, I think she, you know, I'm just going to take directly from Desperate Housewives, but I see Miranda being Lynette Scavo, having like quintuplets running in C's family. She has 5 more kids. They can't afford to live in,
they can't live in
Brooklyn anymore. They absolutely have to move out of the city. And I want it to be so grounded that they have to move to like a square state or a state that's like landlocked. Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I'm going to embarrass myself because I'm going to say a state that's near, you know.
No, I'm from Oklahoma, so I immediately, like, I am charmed by this idea. And then I think that just brings an extra layer of knowledge and reality and groundedness to this storyline. I haven't seen Desperate Housewives, so I'm embarrassing myself there. But I feel like you can fill in the blanks, like, where we come up, and it'll just be, like, a very yin-yang approach to Miranda's journey.
Amazing. I was thinking that it was one of those, like, her house was like in the middle of Tornado Alley. And so great.
She might have a Twister. It's very like Twister-esque. There's like an action. Yeah.
Great. they own farmland. Maybe they're like, I don't know, maybe like their big story arc is that they're having legal battles with Monsanto because of like seed patents. Something like very not glamorous is something I would love for Miranda.
Okay, yeah, I'm seeing like
not that legal battles with Monsanto isn't glamorous. I don't want to like
I get what you're saying though. Yeah, like I'm like, I would like to see her. She's like struggling in the earth. Like she's really having to like go head to head with Mother Nature and learn just about like what the earth needs. You've got to give it to it. Like,
right.
We take like her groundedness is like extremely literal.
Yeah. Like maybe like in the ground with like a tornado shelter, like literally.
Yeah. Grounded. In the ground with the tornado shelter, she's like plowing the fields, like trying to like harvest, you know, she is one with ground. Yeah.
Right. Great. And then the Samantha character, I was thinking that maybe Carrie, she wants to be more, how do I say this? Carrie maybe wants to be a little more, I guess, woke, I guess, for a lack of better, I guess more inclusive of all diversities. She's, you know, she's been reading up on how to, like, be more modern day. I'll put in quotation marks if you want to. So in my head, maybe the Samantha character Carrie has invited Miranda's baby nurse Lena into the fold, and Lena, I've made up Lena's story based off my own mother's story, where she's a refugee from communism in Vietnam and was a boat person in 1979. And I just thought it would be so fun to see these girls who are used to like a very glamorous high-heeled life interact with somebody who is not surprised or happy about anything. Just like
great.
So
is that Carrie's new friend? Like, she's coming in as like another, she's like the fifth friend on Sex and the City.
Yeah. She's decided that she wants to align herself with somebody who maybe she doesn't have the most in common with, but she, in her head's like, oh, maybe that's a good thing. But in reality, it's maybe her doing it for like maybe optics.
Yeah, it's kind of like tokenism in some respects. I feel like Miranda's moving away, and Carrie's like, we need a new friend to come to brunch, but we really need to, like, be more diverse and, like, welcome in. Like, she's saying that to Samantha. So she's like, go recruit me, a woman of color, to, like, get right. into this friend group. Okay, great.
And perfect, they're, like, going Carrie. Through their, and like, also, phone. Like, who do I know that is a woman of color? There's, like, three people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, love this. And then Leanne. Is it Leanne or Lena? With Leanne, right?
It's Lena.
Lena, okay. Yeah. And she is like, do you have like a arc for her, an idea for her? She's like there, like, what does her, do you have anything for her? We'll figure that out.
I think, maybe we'll figure it out, but I think she's mostly reactive. She's just there as a reflection of I think she's a reflection of who Carrie wants to be in the future, which is so strange.
Great. And I feel like she's probably annoyed by Carrie, too.
Truly annoyed. Only, and maybe was a doctor in Vietnam and has now been subjected to just going along with terrible things for the sake of existing in peace.
Yeah. And like now, yeah, and is just like, I can't believe these people that I'm around. Like, I guess I'll come to lunch, but yeah, okay, great. hasn't fully integrated, but definitely shows up to lunch and like scowls and refuses to buy any of Carrie's like LuLaRoe. Like, I would never do that.
Makes fun of Carrie for her athletic wear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I think also Carrie has kept like her MLM a total secret from everyone. Like, no one outside of Mr. Big knows that she's doing this because it would be like really bad for the brand. But writing is not paying the bills like it used to. Like, I think she's confronting the reality that like she cannot support herself on like a writer's salary. So she has to do something big and like bold to get the money that she wants. But it also is like now her full-time job secretly. And like she doesn't say it because it would be really unchic.
Right. It's like when people want to become models and they're like, I want to model for Gucci. And you're like, okay, but like people who model for like Target make them more money. You know what I mean? Like, I think that she's decided that commercialism is the way to make any kind of money around here. So she's really dipped into that.
Yeah, it's the only thing. Yeah, and that causes more tension with her and Charlotte because Charlotte's like passionate about what she does and can be really visible about it. And Carrie, meanwhile, is just like, has a whole room in her apartment with Big that's devoted to like $10 leggings.
Yeah.
That are that really closet, bad quality that she would never wear. Yeah.
That closet that Big built for her is now filled with like weird printed giraffe print leggings.
It's her store. It's a storage room now, like her merchandise. Yeah. She's in hell.
She's in hell. Help me.
Okay, so we open obviously on like the city of New York, the city that never sleeps. I think maybe all the girls are getting ready to meet for brunch, and maybe they're all finishing up some different thing that can catch us up to like where they are currently. Like,
sure,
Carrie's gotten like a paycheck from Vogue or wherever, but it's for like $350 for like a weekly column that she writes like online. And she also, it says like one $350 check and then a stack of bills like on her desk. And you see her being like, I don't know what, like, yeah, this isn't working.
She rolls her eyes to the chorus of Suddenly I See. It's like, suddenly I see, da, 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 da. Yeah, so she's just, like, wiping her brow because of the stack.
Yeah.
And then maybe, like, she, like, turns, like, this, the camera pivots around her. She turns around and she stacks one of the boxes of the LuLaRoe.
Yeah, like, she's, like she opens her closet and you think like she's gonna get ready, like maybe she's just in her bathrobe at first, and you're like, oh, like all the girls are on the edge of their seats being like, she slowly opens her closet and the girls are screaming in the audience getting so excited for the reveal of Carrie's closet, and it's literally just cardboard boxes floor to ceiling, and she like packs a box like in like a little poly mailer and like prints out a label and like attaches it to the thing, and then like you just see her doing that, and it's a long shot that it's like 5 minutes of this shipping process.
The height of it is the printer running out of toner, and she's just like trying to like slam on the printer, trying to like get it to like, and then it gets like tangled, the paper gets tangled. It's really hard to print on sticky paper to like get the printing label out. It's really hard. Gets tangled.
Yeah,
so the moment of like her reveal of like everyone in the audience being like, oh, there's our girl, to is that our girl, it just, I feel a little a little shift.
And she's just like still in a bathrobe looking not so glamorous, and you're like, what, like what's happening? And just before you can even really finish asking that question or like accept like what you've just seen, we cut immediately to like Miranda, and I think she is, she at the doctor's, is she giving birth, like does Carrie get a text? I think Carrie maybe gets a text and it's like they're here, and like it's Miranda giving birth to quintuplets.
Three are in her arms and one is being delivered. Is that how it works?
They're just like coming out. Or that's just like their cup. Maybe she even like didn't know prior, like she just thought she was like having one child, and then suddenly the doctor's like, wait, there's more. It's a really good opportunity for like some comedy from Cynthia Nixon.
Sure. And then she's like, twins? You never told me twins ran in your family. And then Steve's like, ugh, Miranda. And then three more come out.
Yeah, it's like, it was never twins, but it was quintuplets. And then quintuplets. She's like, wah! And then... I think that Brady's there too. He's also like 18 by now. So it's really shocking that she managed to pull this off. And maybe that's why she didn't go to the doctor as much, because she was just like, whatever happens. Like, I'll leave it in like, the Lord's hands.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
If it's meant to be, the baby will like be fine. But like, I'm truly not going to look into it and just trust that the universe will provide.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you really should have looked, because now you have five kids.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think Steve's like, well, it wasn't twins, but it was. And then you just see Miranda with five of those, like, plastic baby bassinets, like, around her hospital bed. And it's just like, whoa. Like,
whoa.
There can be a pun in Carrie's voiceover, too, that's like... she got like five for the price of one. Like when Carrie's talking about like shipping, like I had this great new business that was like really thriving, like for X amount of money, like you could own your own business too. And like, it was really a good deal. And then she's like, speaking of deals, then Miranda got five for the price of one. And that's like, then now we're caught up with Miranda.
I wouldn't track for a second. I gotta say, if you just said that to me as, and I was a producer, I would give you all my money. I literally you get the funding. You get all the funding.
Thank you. I'm like, please make these movies. I'm giving, truly every episode is a free idea for people to take and make happen. Like, I want nothing more than to see every episode of this show come, of this podcast, like come to life.
My stomach hurts. Oh my God. Okay. Okay, so we have five bassinets.
And it really just kind of leaves, Miranda's like, what are, like, they're just like both in shock, I think.
What are we,
and
yeah, maybe a the camera swipe and both of them go like,
yeah, we don't know.
We don't know what's going on. Sure.
Then we cut to Charlotte.
Yeah.
Is she already, do you see her, like, she's already, like, QVC queen, or are we going to see, like, her business kind of start from ground zero?
No, let's see her at the QVC. She's already there. She's sitting next to Lori. It's truly, like, the most glamorous, like, in, like, the most, she's successful in a very mm-hmm. real, happy way. And it just, like she's like getting things ready, and it's not elevated, it's really genuine and grounded. And she's like, do we think we should go with the white candles or the pink? And then Lori's like, I really love the white. And Charlotte's like, oh, Lori, I really trust you, thank you so much for having my back. And like, the it's not Sex and the City dialogue at all, it's like really like
okay, yeah,
a really nice ground,
mundane, and just like really
just
yeah,
but like camaraderie at its like purest form, and they're like actually mm-hmm. like good friends.
Yeah. And they're like, I think yeah, we might be ready to shoot in a little bit, and they're kind of like arranging flowers or just mm-hmm. being like, okay, this looks
yeah great. Even the montage music would have stopped, I think it just quiets mm-hmm. down, and you think it's like over, but it's not, they're just like having a normal conversation. The camera's like slowly swiping across. And then as soon as the camera like, you know, pans across them, their mundane conversation ends. Then the music picks right back up, speeds right up, and heads to Lena exiting the subway. she is ready to take on the world. Somebody pushes her and she shoves them back. So we see that she's like she doesn't take any crap from anybody, Lena.
I love that. Yeah, she's great. Like maybe even wearing like she's like wearing her sneaker, like wearing sneakers to walk, but then like has her flats in a bag or something, and is just like, she's sensible, but also don't fuck with her,
don't touch her.
And at this point, we truly don't know how she ties in. It's the introduction of someone that has absolutely no ties to the rest of the girls whatsoever. No. But just happened to exit the subway, and you're like, wow, who is this woman? Like, what does she have to do with this universe? Only time will tell. But we do know that she can be a bit of a hothead.
Yeah.
Love.
And what then I think a weird world.
Then
okay.
we have to cut to Samantha. And do she and Lena have like a run-in on the street? Maybe is Samantha the person that bumped her by accident, and then Lena shoves her, and that's how they like first meet?
That's a great like baton pass wink filmmaker thing is mm-hmm. yeah, Samantha's on the phone, busy on the phone, as you know, blah, 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 and because of her self-importance doesn't see Lena. Then, you know, for a second she takes it. For a second, she thinks yeah. about it. She's like, you know, she's probably having a rough day. And then she goes, you know what? No, I think I'm going to do her a favor. And then runs after her and then tackles her.
Great. Okay, yeah.
I think it's like, really good to have violence.
Absolutely. I'm 100% on board for violence. And very realistic violence, too. And I think you don't even see Samantha's like face. Like, you just see a suit, like a some suited figure.
Right.
Brush past her and like really checks her. Like, it's so rude.
Yeah.
And then you get the full array of emotion of like, it's fine. No, it's not fine. No, I'm running after this person. And then like pushes Samantha from behind. And it's only when she falls that you realize that was Samantha Jones. Pushed. Yeah.
Yeah. We could even elevate that when she checks her, she dislocates Lena's shoulder. And Lena pops it back in, and then
her arm hangs like really, it's like down and limp. It's gruesome.
Yeah. On and the floor.
It's like it's totally down. She has to maybe even like go up against a wall to set, but it is like a 2 minute process or whatever. Sure. Like totally silent, like no dialogue from her.
Nothing's happening.
And then she vows revenge and has to like chase this woman for blocks, maybe, because it's taken her a while to like realign her shoulder. Okay, love that.
I mean, suddenly I see maybe still playing. That'd be romantic to see, to have like, you know, nice suddenly I see music and then pop, lock, and drop. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I love it. And then Samantha's on the ground. Her phone flies. Like, it breaks. We get, like, a long shot that just follows the phone, like, falling and bouncing and breaking, kind of. And then you just know, I think, as an audience member, you're like, I'm seeing something different this time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like...
In case you haven't had that realization yet, like, this is the moment that you do.
Everyone's reassigning who they are in their groups. Like, oh, am I the Lena of the group? Am I the Carrie? Am I the... They're all questioning everyone's values.
Yeah, totally. And this like really changes up like the Sex and the City like world as we know.
Yeah,
it.
Where are we? Yeah.
And so Samantha's like, she's bleeding. Like, her hands are bloodied from falling, and maybe even her suit has like a tear on it or whatever.
Sure, sure, sure.
And do they have like a confrontation moment then, where Samantha's like, how dare you? Like, why would you push me like that?
Sure. And I feel like...
What's your
Lena's,
problem, anyway?
What's... Yeah, what's going on? Are you having a bad morning? And I feel like Lena is soft-spoken but powerful. So I think she would maybe just... Oh, this phone is smashed. So I think she would maybe... to reiterate, pick up the phone and smash it again in front of Samantha to like make her point, and then like step on it, and then like pick it up, and then like smash it again. And it's really like a 10 minute almost performance art of Lena.
She maybe even could tell an entire story of like her life story, like she's telling it. She's like, what's wrong? And then it turns into like a monologue, like a 10-minute monologue of this character telling her life story smashing this phone, just to like, at certain points it like punctuates. Like, she's like, I was born in Vietnam in like 1940. And then... It's like Tarantino-esque in its like storytelling abilities, where you're just like, wow. Like, by the time she finishes, you're like, I'm all in on Lena.
I'm on Lena's side all of a sudden. Yeah. And passerbys don't know if this is a real confrontation or if it's like an NYU Tisch like performance art project.
Yeah. And it's New York. So people are like pretty much for the most part not engaging. And just like letting it play out. But Samantha is like just staring, jaw on the floor, as this
little
woman,
bloody
as Lena.
Yeah.
And I think Lena's like, what she's like, I was a doctor in my country, like before. Like, I specialized in
organ like transplant. XYZ. Yeah.
Organ transplant. Yeah. Like, she's like, do you know that there are like 38 veins in the heart that have to be thick. That have to be like cauterized together before you can even have one heartbeat. Like, some sort of medical analogy something. Like that, that you're like, whoa, this is fucking deep. Like,
right. Whoa. Yeah. We're in the ground. Yeah.
And then she. Like, yeah, her whole story, like, she was a doctor, and then she had to flee during Vietnam, and she, like, came over, and it was, like, so harrowing, and she started over, and now she's in a new country, and gets, like, no respect, and, like, can't be, like, the person she was, but she's still gonna, like, make it through, and she had, like, a son, and she had a husband. You get her entire life story, and you're just like, oh, my God. Like, this woman is incredible. And then by the end, she's like... So no, like when she finally steps on the phone for like the last time and like twists her foot over it, just to like crunch it deeply into the cement.
Yeah.
She's like, it's not okay that you pushed me walking out of the subway.
it could all have been started when Samantha totally would have been like, to set Lena off, been like, do you know who you're dealing with? That's such a Samantha attitude. Do you know who I am? Do you know where I came from? Do you know what I've been through? And then Lena's like, do you know what I... And then that's when she lays it all on. And then has that one crushing moment. Gorgeous. What a gorgeous cinematic moment.
It's beautiful. And I think... And Samantha's like, wow. Like, I like you. We should exchange numbers.
Honey, you've been to Samba.
This woman's amazing.
You like Samba?
Yeah, that Samantha's response is just like, do you like Samba? Sushi Samba? And Lena's like, I don't even know what that is. And Samantha's like, well, get ready for the meal of a lifetime. And she's like, she just is like, you're coming with me. And so they are like going to lunch now.
Yeah, they're friends now. Samantha has a bloody nose, but they're going to lunch.
She has a scrape on her nose where her nose scraped the ground, where it's going to turn into a scab over the course of this movie. Like, but she's still going to go to song.
Oh, my God. Oh, my stomach hurts. Okay.
So, I love this is like the first scene of the movie this is just establishing where people are at that's lasted 35 minutes of this movie. But Terrence Malick, like, everyone loves it. Like, it's powerful.
It's powerful.
It's gorgeous.
It's it's how you shoot it is what it is. That's what we can say in the room when we pitch it. It's how you shoot it. You'll feel it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you'll feel it. Yeah. Perfect.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Maybe we're back home at that point with Miranda and Steve, and they're just like overcome by their brand new babies, and they're having that hard conversation where, or even in the spirit of the movie, it's like they've already had the conversation and made the decision to move, and now they're just like emotionally, like, after that conversation, just in a place of like silence and acceptance over like what the changes are going to be. So you just see them sitting at a dinner table, both like with their heads in their hands, like staring down for about like a minute or two.
Mm-hmm. Babies are ballistic. They're crying. Yeah. They're screaming, and they just don't, they're immobile because they are at a loss of like, what should we do? Where should we go? Like, how did we get here?
Mm-hmm. And Steve's like, I hear Oklahoma is good real estate. And then she's like, I'll call the realtor. Maybe they don't even say that. And she's just like, I'll call the realtor tomorrow.
Yeah. She gets up in silence. And then like maybe a 5 minute performance art, like looks on her phone for a realtor number, writes it down on a sticky and sticks it next to Steve. She's really upset. She goes back to her mashed potatoes.
Yeah, we see her just like googling, like researching. She reads a few Yelp reviews of like certain realtors. She like texts a friend. It's very like real time. Yeah. How would she go about this? And it really is more about just her reactions to having to like every sound, and it's eye acting, and
it's eye acting
and acting. Yeah,
it's really small, but you know, she's figuring out how to spell John Deere, and she is it with an E? Is it without an E? She's looking at different tractors, trying to see the schematics for tractors, how big a tractor might be if they were to own a space for it. Really like measuring, and then she has a sense of like, oh, maybe like I can connect a little bit of myself or to my past self, my New York life, with like matching a tractor with like a color, or trying to make it her own. But the reality of it is, you take a tractor, whatever tractor you can get. That's really kind of the reality of the situation. It's not about the color at all. And so that really saddens her that she's not able to like take any piece of
her. Yeah, if you can get a good deal.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I love this scene where like at first she's kind of somber about having to move. But then, you have a scene a little bit later where she does get excited about getting a green shiny tractor. A green shiny tractor. She shoots up in bed and she's like, that will make it better. And then you see a whole day of her trying to get like a used tractor and negotiating, and it's much harder than she thought it would be. And then at the end of this long scene, she realizes she's gonna get like a kind of rusted red and black and brown tractor.
Yeah.
And she's lucky to even just be getting that one.
She's lucky, and she negotiated all day. She's used all of the skills she's ever learned. She went to Harvard, right? At Harvard to get this tractor. And then even with the slightest bit of good news, they go, but you have to pick it up. You have to get the tractor. The tractor is all the way in, I don't know, Tucson. And you got to get it to Oklahoma. So now she's like, oh, no.
Oh. Yeah, it's like a long sigh.
Oh, no. Oh, Steve. And Steve's like, Miranda, we're going to get through this. And he's always the one who's like going to pick them up. But it's rough. It's hard for them.
Yeah. And you see him, I think, boarding up his bar, Scout. Like, he's selling the bar, he's letting the lease expire, and he's just boarding it up.
Yeah, Scout's dead. Scout's, the dog and the bar are both gone.
The dog and they're gone.
Very sad.
And this could even be an opportunity, because aren't Aiden and Steve still in business together, technically?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they open that bar, they've been in business this entire time.
Entire time. So maybe Aiden is back.
Maybe he sells. Yeah, Aiden. Like, you have a scene with Aiden and Steve where they talk about, Steve says, we have to, move, and I want to sell you my portion of the bar. And they have a very long conversation, grounded conversation, just about the numbers and Aiden numbers of, I don't even know what you talk about, but it's just a lot of numbers. And then
the environment around them is very much reminiscent of their old life. A bustling bar, people walking around, people really talking, chatting. There's lights going on. There's it's a very lively scene. But because reality has hit their lives, Steve and Aiden's conversation is very, very mundane. It's how much did you buy it in 2003? Well, with the market value going up, I think by now would be at this point, maybe, I don't know, I guess my share went up maybe $50,000. Aiden, that's a lot. That's not true at all. He's like, yes, it is. The Lower East Side, where this bar is how much the rent has gone up. And then he's like, well, do you use Redfin or Zillow? And Steve is like, well, it's up to my realtor. It's actually not Redfin or Zillow. That information isn't your choice.
And it's not even that accurate if you look at it. A lot of things are posted after the fact. And I think it ends up Aiden is just firm. He offers Steve a certain amount of money that's very low, and he's just firm about that. Mm-hmm. And it just is what it is. And kind of just leaves you with a sour taste in your mouth, but you're also what can they do? This is New York.
It's New York. And I think that we know that their friendship is over, because Aiden's kind of swindled Steve just now.
And you realize Aiden might be a bad guy.
Yeah. That's when it finally comes out.
Yeah, Aiden, you see it. For the first time, you really see it clearly for the first time.
Yes, this action
ever,
that
as an audience member,
that he was hiding behind this nice guy thing the whole time, but really, he doesn't care about his friends, quote unquote.
Not one bit.
Not one bit.
And then maybe Carrie, maybe Carrie and Samantha decide to host a party, like a going away party for Miranda and Steve.
Okay.
And it could be at a restaurant or it could be at like Carrie's apartment, but like it is a going away party, but then also it is like also a LuLaRoe.
I was
like,
just
she's like, yeah, like a lot of strangers are invited that would not normally mix with their friend circle. And Carrie's spending a lot of time talking to them and trying to get them to like sign paperwork or like show, being like, I'll show you the closet. Like it's like right in here. And like, is not paying attention to like Miranda and Steve.
Right. And every time we see Carrie in like, every time she steps on camera, she's in a LuLaRoe like print. She's in like a legging or whatever, but she's tried to like zhuzh it up with her own like styling so that people aren't suspicious of her. And so everyone's like, Carrie, like, what are you wearing? And they're like, she's like, oh, don't you know it's the new DVF? Like, oh, don't you know it's, yeah. And she's like trying to like make excuses the entire time, but she's actually wearing LuLaRoe.
And I think her friends are like, they still don't know that she's doing this business because she hasn't told anyone. So they're kind of put out by how social she's been and like, who are all these strangers? And then, and Carrie, I think, gets really defensive and is like, what? Like, I can't have friends like that are outside of the three of you. Like, what? I have a lot of friends. Like, shoot me.
Yeah, she goes into this whole spiel about class, maybe, and she's like, you think that you're better than people who, you know, are here? Like, you think you're better than my new friends? That's insane. You know, this is, everybody is equal. We're all on this earth, and she, like, goes into this.
And all the women that are there are, like, other white women. Like, she's like, oh, you think you're better. Like, and it's, like, just no, bridge and tunnel, like, white women.
I don't think I'm, no, what do you mean?
Seems like we're all pretty similar, friend says. And it's a wide shot of, like, just a room full of white women. And then Gary's like, well, I think I heard a little bit differently. Like, she's really up on her high horse. Yes. And this is where she starts to get the idea, like, maybe we need, like, one diverse friend.
Right.
In our group. With Miranda leaving, there's finally room.
There's finally room for, yes. Yeah, that's when she gets inspiration to widen her circle. Yeah.
And Miranda and Steve, like, they leave, like, it's like they leave from the party, like, into a U-Haul with babies and with Brady to drive away from New York.
Yes. Yeah. It's pretty dramatic. It's like they're all, it's
incredibly dramatic.
It's outside and Carrie's like very famous porch or the stairs. And but then they're like saying goodbye, they're crying. Like the shot is like the four girls saying goodbye and crying. Three girls, sorry. And then Miranda and Steve get into the U-Haul. They look out, they're crying, and they're waving. But the next shot is Carrie and then all the white women behind Carrie. They've all, like, come down the stairs.
They've come down.
Yeah, so it's very, like, almost like a magic trick. You're like, whoa, oh, that's right. And I think that it's a good place to, like, represent, like, their New York life is so full. And Miranda and Steve are going to, you know, who knows where, what's going on.
The great unknown.
Truly.
And then, like, I think for a big chunk of the movie, we just see them, like, on the road. Like, it's, like, every scene cuts to, like, just Miranda and Steve. It's, like, very, like, Badlands or something where it's just, like, long shots of, like, the hills and the prairies and, like, different nature elements that they're in as they make their way to the farmstead.
Yeah. Waiting to use the, like, gas station bathrooms. And then, like, we can do, like, maybe a montage of, like, the different, you know, Sunoco and, like, the different bathrooms at the different gas stations.
And, like, maybe a Love's, gas station and, like, Miranda,
Love's,
like, trying to breastfeed, like, in, like, a gas station bathroom or, like, just staring with her head out the window as, like, all the bales of hay and, like, it's just very... And the only sound are like really realistic sounds of their surroundings and just like crying babies.
Right. I gotta say, the movie really is in the audience reaction if this movie was ever made.
You've been radicalized by your own audience experience, and yeah. Now you're going to give them something to really react to.
I'll show How do you. Like you. This? Yeah, I'll show you. Yeah. You think you could have fun at the movies? Think again. I'll show you
they
what's
They will
fun.
Pay.
Yeah, you will. Yeah, you'll pay. Yeah. Teach you to be ooh and not a movie ever again.
Yeah. McCarrie is like counting her paperwork. Like she did make a lot of sales like at the party and got some like ambassadors signed up or whatever. Yeah. And like maybe we even see her having that conversation with Big, like just going through like paperwork. It's just a conversation with paperwork and like
Sure.
And I think after all of it she does say, he's like, well, it sounds like you might break even after all, kid. And she goes, it's all we can hope for.
Yeah. Oh, she or have her, like, Carrie spin on it. It's always going to be positive. She's like, thanks. Very, like.
Like, kicks up a heel.
Yeah.
Like, she's, like, off to lunch to, like, yeah. meet Samantha to have the, to, like, figure out who they will, like, have with their friend group.
Right. The most expensive place in New York. I don't even know. What is it, per se? Like, literally, yeah, like, know. Whatever.
I'm like, I defer to you on that one. I think, yeah, they maybe Samantha's just brought Leanne, like, with her to yeah. be with, like, her and Carrie. Yeah. And, like, and, like, Leanne could just be in the restroom at the start of it, and Carrie's like, I'm really I'm nervous about like having like a new friend around, but like with Miranda gone, like it's obvious, like we really did need, like we needed like a woman and a woman of color to like join us. So
yeah, and then Samantha's like, well, I have some good news. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this yeah. is a woman named Lena in the bathroom, and she is a woman of color. In fact, she's from Vietnam, and Carrie squeals. Mm-hmm. Ah, perfect.
Yeah,
yeah.
She could be like, even like she's like. Oh. That's where they make the, and then she stops because she's almost said too much. And then Samantha's like, what? And she's like, nothing. And then.
I'm going to throw my computer through the wall. Like,
oh, she almost, so she got too fast and loose on that one.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. She almost got too excited. Yeah. Yeah.
And then okay. Lena comes out. Yeah, and sits down with them. Yeah, and yeah. they just like they just order food and
right.
It's Lena really maybe awkward.
Yeah,
between all of them,
it's really awkward because they're in an Italian restaurant, and Lena, and I'm pulling from my own experience. My mother in an Italian restaurant is an Olive Garden is just like very. I don't know why it's just clash of, and so Lena is just very like I don't really know what to get here. And so they're trying to figure out what Lena can eat out of the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the
they
scene.
Decide, yeah, maybe on a salad.
Yeah, they're like, maybe some breadsticks. Breadsticks and salad will be good for you, Lena. Yeah, yeah, that'll be good
a
for
Caesar,
your stomach.
Perhaps.
Yeah, universal.
Yeah, and then I think it's like, maybe every time we check in with Charlotte, it's just... only passing like shots of her success, yeah. but like another like mundane thing.
Yeah, I think that Charlotte's the only one who still lives in the old Sex and the City. She still has like, so I want, maybe that'll be fun to like feel that she like still lives in that like fast paced, glamorous, like New York lifestyle. And she's like, she's the only one who still lives in that world. So it would be like a fun, like bounce back from like this mundane, boring dinner, lunch with like Lena and Samantha and Carrie. And then Charlotte's just like doing like action shots, like Harry, like laughing. And then like, you know, just
taking her girls like to the strolling in the park with her girls or like having tea at the plaza. Like maybe she even gets to go, like I think at one point in the movie her candles or something get mentioned on like Oprah's favorite things for the holiday. Like, amazing. I think maybe this movie could build up to like Christmas or something, like great. By the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
And like, yeah, this is all taking place like from like October to Christmas.
Christmas.
And she's just gotten like the message and like, or she gets like a call from an accountant that's like, your business is like doing incredible. Maybe she even takes it public over the course of the movie. Like,
huge. Yeah. And then right in time for the holiday season. And it's so exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything that Carrie's maybe even done, like, you have actual Charlotte now doing those same things. Like, remember when Carrie ran to the stock market to ring the bell?
Yes.
Like, Charlotte's doing that. And, like, Carrie's book party, like, it's actually Charlotte's, like, launch party of her new clothing, like, the clothing line and of her stuff.
Wow, I love that idea. I truly, that is so, that is gorgeous. Like, beautiful. Like, that is so beautiful.
She's living the Carrie Bradshaw dream, and it's like fully self-made, like the real Carrie Bradshaw.
Fully self-made. Like, I mean, Carrie living those dreams, like she had like $975 in her savings account when she was having like the stock market.
Financial issues.
She was
having deep, she like could not get approved for like a loan. And like any loan, not even like it, just like truly there was no across the board.
There was no loan, and then she reveals that she spent $40,000 on shoes. But now that Charlotte's living this lifestyle, it's real. She was already doing well, and now she's doing even better. And so it feels like a really nice reality for Charlotte to live in.
It's a beautiful reality for Charlotte, and I think even she. She realizes in the moment of like the going away of Miranda, it's like she that allows her to take space from the girls and really send her business into overdrive. So like, it's almost like Miranda and Charlotte are having their own like movies of like learning.
Yes.
Like they're like Miranda's like after she arrives to the farmstead, it's just like her trying to like fertilize the soil, or like the ground is so hard, and it's like, how do we, everything is like, how do we make this work? But it's all pretty much no dialogue, just like her interacting, like trying to plant like one plant and seeing like finally like a tiny sprout coming through and like crying, like jumping up and down and like crying and like Miranda's movie, first lot, just goes no dialogue for the rest of the movie. It's just reacting and like total. It's a physical story of like farming.
Completely, yeah. Just many cuts of her wiping her brow, just like very, in the beating sun.
And like overalls and like dirt on her hands. Or it's like when she is constantly having something to do. If she's not like breastfeeding or pumping, she's like plowing or harvesting. Like, it's just, it's a punishing lifestyle that finally yields one sprout, and that's like the moment of hope where you think maybe she can do this, but we'll never actually see. It's just like it all leads up to that one sprout.
I think that's like maybe her Christmas present. That's like her like a little hope of like, okay, we can do this. Yeah, we maybe can do this.
And Charlotte's like, hers is like bubbly, like excitement. Like, it's on the total opposite end of that, but it's like very a similar journey of just like putting in the like hard work to like make something out of yourself, or like make the life you want for yourself. And it's like fun and glamorous and like success and like money, and then like Samantha and Carrie are just kind of in the middle, like trying to be friends with Lena. Like, they're like, we have lost like our other two. Like, Carrie truly is like tapped out because she's just trying to break even, and right. like, but has to keep up like this fake lifestyle.
Right. She's really working it. She's really doing it. Lena's mm-hmm. Lena's mute. Lena has said her piece. She said all that she said, and really is just like just making judgmental stares at everybody. Yeah,
and not being able to figure out like not liking any of the restaurants that they're ever at. Like, never know it. Just being like I don't like it.
This is what is this? Yeah.
And like Carrie, I think like after that first lunch, Carrie's like, Lena, like she takes her as they like walk for a while, just the mm-hmm. two of them. And then that's when Carrie tries to like sell her on like becoming an ambassador. And Lena just like stares at her with no response. And Carrie like awkwardly like
backs away.
And that's like the last. She like backs away a little bit and then just like runs away down the street, and like that's the last time she ever brings it up to Lena. And I honestly I think that we have to have Samantha's like cancer come back.
Oh,
and like
my God.
She and like how do we ground this and like put them, I feel like this movie is about them all moving in totally different directions in
right.
life.
Right. Yeah, maybe Samantha, oh my God, I can't even think.
I'm what would put her in, like, a different...
Like, frame. Like, what would get her yeah. out of, because she's, like, a high-powered PR lady, professional, what would really ground Samantha?
Mm-hmm. Or does she try, like... Does she find...
She gets into a
like,
hit and run.
Does Lena... Do Lena and Samantha, like, actually become, like, great friends?
Who's Samantha and Lena?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I think that Lena is a... Because of Lena's, like, toughness that Samantha really, you know... It really resonates with Samantha. I was thinking maybe Samantha can accidentally get into a hit and run. And as a PR person, you can't really... You know, so every time she, like, is at an event or whatever, she, like, it almost slips out that she was a part of this, like, and it gets, like, worse and progressively worse. Like, the information about the person that she hit. Maybe he was a politician.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Did she kill him or just, like, gravely injured?
Maybe he's in a coma and she's, like, okay. waiting to see.
She's never driven. And also, she's never driven
she's never
before,
driven.
But she really wanted to, like... drive this like chic car or something yeah. that someone dropped off at like the PR, like she's doing PR for a car company, and then they were like, do you want to take this car for a spin? And she's right. like, I would love nothing more. And then you get like a really good like her driving in the streets of New York, but she, since she does not know how to drive, she
yeah.
hits a politician and
yeah.
then
she's like
speeds,
looking over her
she's
shoulder
so freaked out yeah
yeah
she just speeds she, away
yeah she
have
was
you
like...
ever seen there's some movie with like Anna Paquin that it never really came out in theaters, but like it was supposed to be like a huge kind of like Oscar vehicle. It's like a long, it takes place on like the Upper West Side of New York, and it's like she, I think she sees this woman get like hit by a bus and like die, and then it's just like, but the death of this woman is, like, it's so, it's, like, very intense, and it, like, changes kind of her life and her relationship with the world, but it's also very kind of Sex and the City, where it's just, like, mundane kind of, like, Upper West Side happenings. But I feel like the hit and run is very, like, it's grisly. Like, it's, like, lots of blood. Like.
Yeah.
And, like, even though
people
Samantha's
see it.
Away, we linger. Yeah, people see it, and they're gathering around, and we see, like, ambulances being called, and it's, like, you're very much in that, like,
yeah.
moment. Yeah.
Yeah. It's bad. It's really bad. Mm-hmm. And the people who are, like, so the politicians have security, and they see her, like, drive away, but they don't see her face. They only see, like, what she's wearing
yeah.
and her hair, and then they see the license plate and the make of the car. So she has, like, the task of hiding the car and getting rid of it. But it's, mm-hmm. like, part of the PR company. So she's trying to, like, finagle a way to, like, get a car back to the PR back to the people that she's doing the PR for, but also hide the car that hit and ran. So
yeah.
it's a whole
okay.
thing for Samantha.
Great. Can Lena help her with this, or does she like confide in her and they are able to like hide it together? Or
yeah, because
like,
Lena has survival
Lena
skills.
Her to do like the right thing, or there she's like, I will help you in this like crime.
Maybe Lena doesn't agree with the politics, and so she thinks it's better for the greater good. And so Lena, with her like toughness, she's like, okay, like this is what we're gonna do, and she has like all the insight of like how to like hide a car or like kind of like maybe they like they have this thing where there's this huge action sequence where it's like at night and they're in the car and Lena and then Samantha's like, are you sure? And Lena's like, oh, I'm sure. And then they put a brick on the thing and the car goes towards the Hudson and they roll out of the car and it like jumps into the Hudson.
I love this. Yeah. It's like fully getting into kind of like gangster movie territory a little bit. And I see that for Samantha and Lena. And they become like bosom buddies over the course of this. But also like very like Lena like tells like it is. Like she'll be like you're stupid for doing this. But like when she does find out, the politician, she's like, okay, I'll help you.
It's for the greater good. And then they really talk about, like, what if the politician wakes up out of a coma? Like, what if, you know, how are we going to handle this? Like, what if he, you know, we just at all costs can't be found. So they really toy with the fact of maybe they're going to, like, murder the politician. Pull the plug.
Like, inject it, like, or just, like, inject something, like, an air bubble into his, like, IV thing.
Yeah.
And I could see them maybe doing that.
Yeah.
And, like, or Lena telling, like, Samantha, because she used to be a doctor, so she's like, I won't do it for obvious reasons. Like, this is your problem, but, like, I will tell you what to do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we get, like, a long thing of Samantha, like, sneaking into the hospital and like getting like the syringe and like slowly killing this
guy. It could be very like Kill Bill 2.
Exactly.
In a nurse outfit.
Yeah.
Squeaking past everybody.
I see it all. Yeah. But like putting on her like rubber gloves.
Exactly. Gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous.
love it. Problem solved. For Samantha. And maybe even Samantha calls Carrie first because she's like, she would be my friend that I would like go to in this situation. But Carrie is too wrapped up with her MLM to like pay attention to Samantha.
I think at this point, maybe Carrie is a little bit underwater. So it's like the output is always, you always break even in a pyramid scheme, right? And basically the point at which you lose money is when you are no longer... You no longer have physical energy. So Carrie is exhausted. And so she is unable to move boxes and move products. She is tired. She's on the floor.
You see her just on the floor of her closet. Like it just cuts to her and she's fully sleeping. And I think it happens right after Samantha's run down this politician. So you're harrowed by seeing him like bleeding out on the curb and you immediately think in your mind as an audience member, you're like, oh my God, Carrie Bradshaw's dead.
Yeah.
Like, cause she's just,
she's in the same position,
like, in the same exact position. Just like, and I think the movie, we let them think she's dead for a good 30 seconds and then
you realize
Big, like walks in. Yeah. And you realize no, she's tired.
She's tired from, she's dead from capitalism. So, great.
There you go. A message, a powerful message. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think we give her, like, we can give her a whole monologue about capitalism, like, killing her and, like, her relationship to shopping and, like, how that then morphed into, like, forcing other people to shop for these, like, fast fashion made in like really unethical like factory situations and like the things she'll do just to like break even.
Yeah. It's her aha moment. It's her like
totally. But then I think like this is the moment where Carrie could change.
But then
she doesn't. Like the next scene in, or like one of her final scenes is like where you think like, oh my God, like this woman is like turned over a new leaf. Like it's like so subtle, but like she like turns on the printer again or something like yeah. that. Or like, yeah, like, and you just realize like, oh, we're seeing her do exactly what she did in like the first scene of the movie.
Right. Right. Yeah. She, mm-hmm. you think that it's going to be different. It's a new day. She's waking up. It's like the same as, the movie, The Ring, where you think it's all over. She showered it all off, and then someone gets killed, and she turns on the printer, and she's like, LuLaRue, here I come.
Yeah, another day.
Another day.
Another day, another dollar. And, like, maybe Samantha, like, yeah, and then she's just, like, good friends with Lena. Like, she shows up to her house or something and like has brought her like a gift basket, and she's like, you really saved me. And this is the first time she's like showing up to her house, so it's also like, wow, this is where you live, huh? And
yeah,
like, she's like, interesting, and like sitting down, and then maybe Lena's like, would you like some tea? And she's like, yeah, I would, I'd like that a lot. And it's just like kind of like a beautiful like friendship moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Lena's been really harsh with her up to this point. Like, she has shared how to kill, like, helped her, but also been, like, so harsh. And this is, like, the first moment of, like, soft, vulnerable, like, female friendship between them.
Exactly. And throughout the entire movie, this is probably our only, like, actual friendship. Because everyone's lying to each other, right? Like, everyone is, like, mm-hmm. I'm fine. But really, they're, like, underwater. So this is the real first moment where they're like, all of my cards are on the table. I think maybe as like a little like in Sex and the City, like cheesiness fashion, Lena prepares them a Caesar salad. And just like they share a Caesar salad like at the Italian restaurant. And it's really sweet.
Mm-hmm. It's really sweet. She like learned how to make it. It's actually delicious.
Delicious. Yeah.
And maybe, like, you even see Charlotte. Like, Charlotte is going to meet up with, like, you think she's going to go meet up with, like, the girls again, but she's actually meeting up with, like, a whole new group of women.
Yeah.
And, like, she's the carry of this group. And it's like, a group of, like, diverse, like, really successful, like, women having, like, dinner somewhere. And you're, like, Charlotte literally ascended to like the next level of existence.
Exactly. And I can literally see Charlotte being invited to be on Shark Tank as one of the sharks, or like
oh my god, yes, yeah, absolutely.
So she's now investing in businesses, and she's like, yes, no, and giving good advice, and she's become a really big icon.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like she's in another world. And then, yeah, of course, we have the Miranda, like, true. Maybe the last shot of the movie is like the seed.
Yes.
Sprouting up.
And then a single tear.
It's either that or Carrie going to the printer. But it's like really depends on how we would want to end it. It's like, do we want to end it on like we want the audience to feel like depressed but hopeful, know there is room for growth and change, or do we want them to feel like some people do change, some people stay the same?
I think maybe what we do is we end the movie on like the new hope, and then a single tear, we have the credits, and then we have a hidden scene of, oh no, we are all trapped by capitalism, and we have Carrie printing the LuLaRue receipt.
I like that. So for the real heads that like still are holding out, that haven't left the movie but are still like sitting there, like just like, I gotta see like all the credits.
At this point, it's
like,
just me. At this point, I'm the only one there. Like,
and you're like, you're nodding,
Artful.
I like want to see this movie. Like, I really want to see Miranda's. Like, I think Cynthia Nixon can handle. She's a dramatist at heart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she can take on this role and like really chew on it. And like the no dialogue aspect is very powerful.
Yeah. She would be good. Yeah. She would be, it would be maybe an Oscar thing for her. It would be.
I think so.
Yeah. It would be something that she could really do.
I like, too, that this movie is essentially, like, a few different genres of, like, it all kind of starts off cohesively, but then each storyline becomes its own genre, which I think is really avant-garde and bold. Like, we don't see that very often in cinema, so that makes me feel like the whole movie could get, like, at least, like, an Indie Spirit nomination or something.
Literally, when they say for the whole family, that's what we mean. Literally for the whole, like, something for everybody. Literally. Like,
straight men will love the action sequences and the cars. Sexy, fast car. We can do, like, a Fast and the Furious-esque car chase at one point with, like, Samantha and, like, an orange Lamborghini, like, we can even, like, get new cars. Like, it, we can do anything with that.
Like, the hit and run with Samantha can go into a huge car chase scene. We can have that. Yeah. And that would be super fun to see Samantha, like, you know, like, apply her lip gloss as she's trying to, like, swerve past red lights. She's still herself, she's right? Like, she's still her.
She's like, I gotta get out of this. Like, and you're just seeing her do these incredible driving tricks, but with no knowledge of driving. So, like, I feel like in the last Fast Nine, they, like, somehow get hooked on to, like, a thing that repels them over a cliff, like, and catapults the car to, like, the other side of the cliff. So Samantha's, like, could do that on, like, the Brooklyn Bridge or something.
No problem. Samantha can handle
it. Okay, great. Huge CGI and, like, special effects budget.
You know, it might be even fun to see Lena. It might be even fun to have see Lena do that, like, as her character reveal. Like, so Samantha's, like, clueless, and it would be fun to see Lena do, like, take charge. That's her take charge moment. And she's like, just watch this. And then she's the one who's doing it.
Maybe Lena even has, like, she's running on the side, like, some sort of Fast and Furious, like, family-owned car business or something, where she actually knows a lot about, like, cars. And then we do get, like, that fast.
Yeah.
Like, kind of hit that quadrant of entertainment.
Great.
She has, like, a full-blown, like, garage that she just, like, runs with an iron fist. And it's all above board.
Right.
But she can get gangster if need be.
Yeah. If need be.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I love that.
Perfect. Let me write that down.
What is what do we call this movie?
I don't know. Okay, so, like, what are the log lines for the other Sex and the City movies? Is just, like, the movie?
Yeah, I think it was, like, Sex and the City the movie, Sex and the City 2, and then I like to do, like, Sex and the City 3. Then, like, semicolon or colon, and then whatever the name of it is. But it really can be anything.
It can be, like, Escape from New York. Is that a movie already?
That's a movie already, yeah. Or, like, Goodbye New York. Or, like, Separate Ways or something like that.
Separate Ways, but it's W-A-Z-E, like, Waze the app. Great.
I'm trying to think of, like, farming or, like, soil or, like, grounded, like references.
Oh, like, Grounded for Life. Some ABC Family.
That's another thing. Yeah, we just trick people into coming to this, or they're like, I don't know what this is, but I feel like I love it. And then, and it's, like, not ABC Family at all.
The marketing for the movie should be as sexy as Sex and the City. Like, the trick is to get the people in the seats. The trick is to get the fans, like,
get them to buy a ticket. That's all we care about.
Yeah, like, Sex and the City, glitz and glam, like, I something.
Sex and the City 3, you reap what you sow.
I'm bankrupt. You get all of my money. Truly, truly.
It's ominous. And don't let the title fool you, ladies, we say in, like, marketing. We're like, it's just as sexy as the other two. And they're like, I honestly don't know. That title freaks me out. And we're like, trust. And then it truly ends up not being sexy. And the biggest message is that we got you. Capitalism, it's like the huge lesson of the movie and of just your experience buying a ticket and going.
Truly bow down. That is huge. That is huge. Wow. I'm literally amazed. Jaw dropped. That is perfect. Done.
This is an incredible film. An incredible movie.
Incredible.
God, amazing. Thank you so much for coming up with this. Like, I'm...
No, thank you.
I am excited. Yo, I love it. I love it.
I'm so excited.
Tell everyone where they can find you.
I'm on Instagram, Tommy2_Do. Dio.
God, wow. I just am...
What a journey.
What a journey. Yeah. I think I'm imagining just a poster of like Miranda with like the sprout, like a bean sprout or something.
The sprout.
Yeah. And yeah. like yeah. that becomes her like heavy wraps. Duty yeah. marketing material. Yeah. And everyone's like, what is this?
Wow.
You just have to buy a ticket and find out.
Yeah. The colors are nice. The green sprout with the red hair, it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Well, thank you again. And
thank you so much for having
time.
Me.
Of course.
We'll talk later.
My pleasure. Bye.
Bye.
Friend of the Pod Productions.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.